the worship service. You get at Guest Central there gift bag, has a great book in it. I don't know if you read this book. It's a great book. It's called The Five-Star Family, and I want to encourage you to be a part of that. Also, we have another book giveaway. I'll mention this to you sometime, but our new book, Rewritten, hits bookstore shelves all across the country starting this Tuesday. And I told you I want to make good on something. I want to give you that book, if that'd be okay. And so now you can go to Barnes and Noble and pick it up and pay $14.95, or you can, which you might want to do, give to a friend. But I want to give you the book, if that's okay. And the way you do that, I told you there's a little catch. The catch is this. This Tuesday, not before, go to Facebook and go to Rewritten Book. Facebook/Rewritten Book. Go to Rewritten Book. And there is a little contest I want you to enter. And when you enter the contest, you like the page and share it to your Facebook friends, then that enrolls you. It makes you eligible to receive the book, and then you can do as much or as little in that as you want to, but that will make you eligible to receive the book, and in a few weeks, hopefully, we'll be distributing out hundreds of those here at Christ Fellowship through email and through you digitally. Hey, we're so glad you're here. Are you glad to be here today? Yeah. Hey, we have been doing some great things let's stay with moms for a second, because I want to get on to something else. Let's stay with moms. We're so thankful for moms, and so we love to give unexpected gifts. Do you like to receive unexpected gifts? Yeah, and so we have, I'll tell you what we got. We have two gifts that you may even be sitting on, and you don't even know about it. And so if you by chance are not a mom, I want to encourage you to maybe to pass this on to the closest mom, guys, college students, singles, you know. So pass this on to the closest mom right there. But look underneath your seat, everybody right here. See, there should be two gift certificates. And if you have one, just come to just stand up if you could real quick. What's that? There's a flower underneath there too, okay? Are there certificates underneath there too? No, this is, it's a gift. Okay, I got them right here. Okay, there's flowers underneath there. So do we see that? Anybody here? You might want to look again. No? Oh, we got one person right here. Oh, raise your hand right there. Great. Do you get your flowers right here? You got them before you came. No, there's so we're looking, two people are still sitting on. There's one person, two special flowers here. No? Oh, great. Fantastic right here. And we need one other. There's somebody right here in the middle that's sitting on gold. Linda, come up here right here. Linda, come up right here. Because we want to celebrate how special you are, and so we got a gift card for you. Happy Mother's Day, the 10 o'clock worship gathering from the Olive Garden Christ Fellowship right here. So, thank God for you.
And I don't have to take.
You don't have to take your husband at all. You can just enjoy it right here. Come on up right here as well. If you got one of those right here. Hey, we're so thankful for you. Happy Mother's Day to you. And she got beautiful twin little girls, if you haven't met them right here. And happy Mother's Day from Christ Fellowship. A gift certificate to Olive Garden for you. We're so thankful for you right here. Praise God for you. Yeah. Yeah. You know, also we have been encouraging so many of you to tag photos on Facebook. And we have a lot of people that have been tagging photos on Facebook, and we told you we're going to run this through the summer, a little thing to be able to make it fun to tag you and your friends on Facebook, and we have tons of people doing this. And so so the tag winner for the 10 o'clock service is Carolyn Kelly here. She here right here. Carolyn, come on right here. Yep. Yeah, listen, if you're a first-time guest, we like diversity in our church, do we not, right there? So we celebrate it. So anyway, hey, this is a gift certificate to you and to Steve to the Bonefish Grill right here. Happy Mother's Day right here. And for, and especially for tagging. So keep tagging on Facebook And we'd encourage you to do that. Hey, have our ushers, have they been able to take the offering yet? We want to invite you guys to come, then come on right up here. And this is our time to bring back to God the tithes and the offerings, to bring back to Him the first. As you hear every week, we can give God nothing. We only bring back to Him the very, very first right here. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this privilege, for this honor, for this requirement of You, for this responsibility, Father, we have to celebrate Your grace in our lives, Father, and as an act of faith, we bring back to You the first, the tithe, the tenth, Father, we bring it back to You to tell You, Father, we believe, we know that everything comes from You, and Father, nothing we have in life have we self-made, have we self-put together, that Father, everything we have in life comes from You, and we thank You for this privilege. Father, this is a test that we're fixing to take right now to see if we can be entrusted with more. Father, this is a test to see whether we believe that You have brought everything into our lives. And Father, this is a test, Father, to see if You can bless the rest. And so, Father, we thank You for this privilege and this honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Hey, while they're taking that right there, we're so, again, thankful that you're here on in just 2 or 3 weeks, the last Sunday of May. We have Shoes for Hope Sunday. You've seen it in your hot sheet. And it's our time that we're going to be bringing some great shoes to this service. And we are going to, as an act of service and an act of giving and sacrifice, going to give up some of our best shoes, and then within 48 hours of you bringing your shoes to the front, we're going to have about 8 or 9 people go down to Haiti, and within about 48 hours of you bringing your shoes here, we are going to give those shoes to somebody in need in Haiti to help a new church plant get started and to be able to celebrate your gift of sacrifice of your great shoes and put it on somebody else's feet. Is that okay? Be great. So it's going to be phenomenal. Memorial Day weekend, you'll not want to miss being a part of that. We've had people, by the way, say, hey, can I collect shoes in my neighborhood? You can, as long as they're willing to come and bring them. The half of the equation is the fact that we're bringing the shoes to people in Haiti. The other half of the equation is the person that brings the shoes is going to get a great blessing. So we wouldn't want you to carry somebody else's shoes and then miss a blessing. So we've even turned down some shoes because we're going to have hundreds of shoes already, more than we probably can even carry, but we're going to have hundreds of shoes just by people coming and bringing their own shoes, and they're inviting their neighbors to bring their shoes, inviting people from their work to come and bring their shoes. And so I'd encourage you, be bold this week, say, hey, you need to come for Shoes for Hope Sunday at my church Memorial Day weekend. We're going to do all our worship gatherings. You'll not want to miss being a part of this very special thing. We're in a new series called Rewritten, Exchanging Your Story for God's Story. And it's the idea that God has created us with an amazing life story, that God has created us with a story from the very beginning of time for your life and for my life that's different somehow than the stories that we create for ourselves. In fact, the stories we create for our own lives somehow tend not to measure up to what we thought they would. Somehow, they don't tend to be able to be everything we calculated them to be. They're not everything that we were hoping them to be. And as a result of that, God has intended for us, he's,
He's inviting us to go back to the story he originally created for our lives. And so there's five life opportunities that if you buy into these life opportunities, God uses those things to bring you back to the story originally designed for you, back to the blessings, back to the giftedness, back to the very things that he intended for your life all along. The first thing we talked about last week was forgiveness. It's one of the most difficult things in our lives is to forgive people, because it's always, forgiveness is always an act of faith, never an act of feeling. There's rarely a time that we go, boy, I really feel this is a great time for me to forgive somebody. There's rarely a time that I go, wow, when somebody hurts me, when somebody stings me, when somebody betrays me, when somebody takes advantage of me, when somebody marginalizes me, when somebody puts me down or puts me away or puts me to the side, rarely at that moment do I feel in my heart of hearts, hey, this is a great time to really forgive them. I really love to forgive them. The truth is a step of faith. And so we talked about how forgiveness is part of God's plan for rewriting your story back to his original design for your life. That something about the act of forgiveness does something amazing in our lives. If you haven't had a chance yet already, go to our website, ChristFellowshipTampa.com, and download that message, because it will be absolutely powerful and life-changing. But the second thing that God does as he is rewriting our stories is God gives every person an assignment. In fact, today I want to talk to you about how to find your assignment from God. When God gives you an assignment, it's something amazing for you and I to do. Your assignment's important because, listen to this, it's only been given just to you. Nobody else has been given your assignment. Nobody can complete the assignment that God has only intended for your life. Nobody can complete what God has intended for only you. In fact, your assignments are when your gifts and your abilities are leveraged to be able to help somebody in need. It takes place when I apply my energy to the point of greatest demand. Your assignment is only been given to you because only you have the unique set of gifts and personalities and connections and talents and skills that God has gifted you to have. And as a result, what God does is God brings somebody that actually, as a hand fits a glove, has the exact same needs as the very thing that you're gifted in. And when the two come together, something amazing happens. Not only does it impact your life, but it impacts their life. Not only does it change your life, because something in you says, listen, there's something right about this. There's something good about this. There's something that's important about this. There's something amazing about this. And nothing can be more unfulfilling in life than somehow living life without fulfilling my assignments. And somehow thinking to myself, listen, I am going to consume time and energy and space and a job and a family and circumstances and mortgage payments and American Express payments and vacations and living life, but never quite being able to put your finger on it, that there's something actually more that you were created for, that there's something actually more that's inside you that has to get out. There's something more inside your life, and you think to yourself all your life, I know there's something more. What's more is you fulfilling your assignment. Because God has uniquely created you and gifted you with such amazing things. In fact, the scripture says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's workmanship, which means we are God's creation, made in his image, made like him. And God is putting already around you the right circumstances, the right people, for just the right moment to carry out his plan, to carry out what you are designed to do, to carry out hope to a broken world, to carry out your assignment. Our assignments have been waiting on us for a while. Before time began, before you were even created, God designed you knowing that you would fulfill your assignment. Many people want greatness for ourselves. But trust me, greatness is something that is too big, because it's too self-consuming. It never is quite fulfilling. In fact, it's always overrated. Doing your assignment is the very thing that God's intended for your life. It's the very thing that God's called you to do. There's a guy that didn't understand this, by the way, in the Bible. And he came to Jesus late at night once, and he said to Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 36, said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your mine. And then he said, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second's like it. He's to love your neighbor as yourself. And then Luke chapter 10, he gives a companion scripture. It's quite interesting. The man wanted to justify his actions. By the way, the word justify in the original language means to reassure himself, to allow him to be able to think that he is okay and that everybody else is not okay, for him to be able to somehow act a little bit more superior, that he's above everybody, that he's really okay with life, that he's really living life to the fullest, that he's really is okay. And it's interesting, he says the man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, you want to know who your neighbor is? You want to know? You want to know how to fulfill your assignment in life? You want to know how to love your neighbor? He says, try this one on for size. A man gets up every single day like he's gotten up every single day before that. The man gets up and he goes to work and his boss says to him, hey, guess what? Congratulations. I'm sending you from Jerusalem down to Jericho. You are going to do some business down in Jericho on my behalf. You are going to be able to take some money for me down there. You are not just helping me in Jerusalem at our business office here. You're going to help me down there. The guy says, man, thank you so much, boss. He goes by his house, tells his wife, says, hey, guess what? I got promoted. The boss gave me a bunch of money to be able to take down to our offices in Jericho. I'm so excited. In Luke chapter 10, the Bible says that Jesus tells this lawyer who is so stuck on greatness, so stuck on self-centeredness, so stuck on selfishness that he was blind to the fact that God had actually placed him on earth to be able to transfer his gifts and his talents and his abilities into the lives of others, to be able to transform their lives, to be able to carry out the work of God, to be able to carry out the assignments of God. He was so stuck on himself. And so Jesus tells him this story and says, listen, this man, and he goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he's walking along the pathway and along this highway to be able to get there. And some men, Luke chapter 10, capture him and beat him up. Luke chapter 10, they beat the guy up so much he's almost dead, and they steal all of his money, and he's laying there, and it's late in the afternoon, and he knows nobody's going to come by him at this point. Nobody in the right mind travels late at night this highway. It's dangerous. There's always somebody that's going to steal something from there. It's a dangerous. He probably started off too late himself. He's thinking to himself, why did I do this? What am I thinking? Am I going to ever see my wife again? Am I going to ever see my kids again? He's thinking to himself, what is going to happen to me? Because he knows it's going to get cold. He knows it's going to get freezing cold up in the mountains there. And you know how it is if you've ever been stuck someplace and you've been cold. I had a buddy of mine, one of my roommates in college. His boat had some problems way out in the Gulf of Mexico once, and he spent a couple nights out in the Gulf of Mexico with himself and a couple friends. He almost died out there in a nice boat, and he was thinking to himself as he's laying there on the ground, I am so in much pain, I cannot move. But I can think about how cold I am. It is freezing cold here. And he cannot get past the idea that he may not make it till sunrise. So Jesus is telling this attorney to ask him, who is my neighbor? He says, so this guy is laying there, and a priest starts walking the same pathway, the same highway, from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And I want you to see it in Jesus' own words right here. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus told this attorney, a Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed by him. Now, the priest had a great excuse on this. The priest had a great excuse not taking on the assignment. In fact, according to his religious order, according to his cultural things and laws that he was a part of. If he got within 4 feet of this man that was dying, that he himself would have to pull himself out of the priesthood for several months. According to the religious order he was a part of, he would actually have to not be able to go to church for several months, and he would actually have to pay for a cow to be sacrificed on his behalf. And so as a result of that, he thinks to himself, listen, I cannot take on this assignment right here because I have to go to the church in Jericho. I have to take care of the people of God. I have to be used by God, but I'm not going to be used by God now. It's a crazy thought right here, and as a result, he starts thinking to himself, hey, I can't take care of this guy because if I stop and take care of this guy, I'm not going to be able to take care of these people right here. And so it's interesting. Verse 31, it says, by chance, a priest came along. The word by chance, by the way, is the word divine appointment. It's the idea that God orchestrated something. It's the idea that the God's putting together something. It's the idea that it's not a natural act. It's a supernatural act. It's not something that just randomly is happening. It's something that God has putting together, that God is orchestrating, that God is placing together, that God is placing this priest at the right time to come right before this man dies, but to rescue this man's life that's been there all night long by himself in the cold, wondering if there's hope. And then when he glances up from the dirt with his face on the dirt, he looks up and he sees the preacher coming, and he says, listen, praise God, a preacher's come to help me. Listen, it's a tragedy when people look at churches and pastors all across America for hope and for help, and there's no help or hope. It's a tragic day when there's not more churches that are helping their city and pastors helping people around them. And so he thinks to himself, listen, it's a done deal. I'm going to be alive. I'm going to see my kids again. I'm going to see my wife again. I'm going to live. This preacher, this priest. In fact, he thinks to himself, I know this guy. I'm not that active in my local synagogue, but this is the priest from the local synagogue in Jerusalem. I know him. And Jesus is telling this story to this attorney because he says, who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is anybody that comes along your path and my path that has the very need that you have the resources and the talents and the calling from God to be able to meet. He says, who's your neighbor? Your neighbor is anybody that God brings along your pathway that has the resources, that has a need for the resources and talents that I've given you. So you have to ask God, who you're bringing in my life, God, who you're orchestrating, God, who you're putting together right here, because the connection of your life and your giftedness with this person is unmistakable. You are joining God in a miracle. You are joining God in something that he is doing as a movement. God is connecting you and this person for this time in history. And God was connecting this priest and this sick man for that moment in history to be able to do something amazing. And God had created this priest for this assignment, but he walks past it. He had created the priest for this moment, for this time to be able to see the work of God and the energy of God come to play in this situation. And if he had stopped, if he had joined God in the work that God had invited him to be a part of, something absolutely amazing would have happened. But beyond the fact that this man would have been healed, that this priest would have had a testimony of what it means to be able to really leverage your gifts and your ability to be able to help somebody unexpectedly to carry out the assignment of God. And this guy would have been a part of the divine moment of God, the divine encouragement of God, the divine time of God right there. But he didn't. And so God created it, and he didn't take on the assignment of God. I remember a time in my life that God just gave me this heart and this passion for this football player that I met at North Texas State University where I was living in Denton, Texas. And we just kind of connected. You ever just connected with someone? We just kind of connected. This guy was about 6'5", about 320 pounds. His name was Julio. And Julio, and I just started connecting. And then one day, I remember two things about Julio. He loved chips and salsa, and he loved to drink beer. This guy could drink anybody. I mean, he could outdrink anybody. He was amazing. So we're drinking brewskis and he's eating chips and salsa. And in the middle of that, I said to him, "Hey, Julio, I don't think I've ever shared this with you, but somebody shared this with me. I want to share it with you that God loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. And he was buried for you. And he rose again for you. And he purchased through his death and his burial and his resurrection what your good works and my good works will never purchase for us." And I said, "One day, Julio, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and he changed my life." I said, "He can change your life too." I said, "Wouldn't you like to receive Christ as your Savior? Wouldn't you like to be forgiven of the guilt and the sin of your past and be free?" He said, "You know, that's some good thoughts. Some good thoughts, man, but I'm not there yet. Thanks." And I remember another time I was talking to him. I was fixing to leave for the summer, and we're in a hot summer night standing in front of the dorms at North Texas State University. I shared the exact same thing with this guy, and I want you to see this right here because this is the divine orchestration of God. I don't want you to miss this right here where this guy's need meets the thing that God has entrusted me with, and that's the gospel. And I share with Julio one more time. I share with him about how lost he is and how much he needs Jesus and how Jesus can change his life. And the 6'5" guy had a cast on his leg because he was dancing on a table and he fell and kind of splintered his leg or something. So I hang out with some great people. So anyway, he's dancing on this table and he fell and so he had his cast on the leg. And so we were talking, and I shared the same thing with him. I shared, "Hey, Julio, wouldn't you like to know Jesus as your Savior?" He said, "No, man. No thanks, man. I'll see you in the fall." And I said, "Would you mind if I pray with you?" But by the way, this is the divine orchestration of God. The priest came, it says, by chance, by the divine orchestration of God, and he passed by this man here. Just remember the story. It's on finding your assignments, on fulfilling your assignments. And I said, "Would you mind if I prayed with you, Julio?" And he goes, "No, man, go ahead." And so I just prayed that God would bless him and he'd have a great summer. And right when I said amen, he looks up at me and he had tears in his eyes and he goes, he says, "Bruce, I need Jesus." And I said, "You do." And he bows his head. David, he prayed the most beautiful prayer I've ever heard a man pray on his own. I didn't have to lead him. He just said, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I am a sinner. I'm a sorry dancer too, but I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save my soul." He said that right there. I said, "Julio, I'm so proud of you. It's the divine orchestration of God. It was a divine moment." And that's what happens when you're willing to leverage your prayers, your money, your giftings, your talents, your abilities. You say, "Well, listen, I know somebody, they have a need in their life for some advice, for some wisdom, for some counsel, for some need of prayer, for some money, for some thing, for that they have a need, and I have the talent." And when that happens, watch out, because God is fixing to do something amazing. Amazing. Between services, a couple years ago, previous church I was one of the pastors at, a girl came up to me between the services and said, "Could I talk to you?" I said, "Well, I'm full this service, but between this service and the next service and the other service, I'd love to talk to you. And so I'll meet you out right here in the lobby." And so I said, "Fantastic." And so we saw each other in the lobby, and I said, "Hey, how can I help you?" And she said, "Bruce, I don't know how to tell you this. I've not been going to church very much in my entire life. I just started coming to this church But my husband comes from a Mormon background, but he really wasn't active in that either. And so we've just recently come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. So can I ask you a question? Does God talk to people? I said, well, I've never heard God audibly speak to me, but he does in my heart. He speaks through his word. He speaks in my heart as I pray. He does speak to me. And he speaks to you too. She goes, well, I believe that God spoke to me. I said, what did God tell you to do? She goes, well, I thought it was so crazy. I told my husband, and when I fixing to tell you what I told my husband, I figured he would have laughed me off the face of this city right here and said, that's crazy talk. But when I told him what I thought God told me to do, he said, God did tell you to do that. And God told us both to be able to tell you. So you can imagine, I'm wondering, what did God tell this lady and her husband to tell me? She says, we are fixing to buy a new SUV, and we have an older SUV that's in great condition. And she said, we're going to trade it in and get several thousand dollars off of it, but God told me to tell you that we're supposed to give this SUV to you. And I said to her, I said, did you know that my wife's car got totaled a few weeks ago? And she said, oh my goodness. God did speak to me, didn't he? She goes, I said, we just are down to one car and we needed two. I said, has anybody ever told you that? And she said, no. She goes, oh my goodness, God does speak to people, doesn't he? And I said, he does. Now, I want you to see this. I want you to watch this. This is the divine orchestration of God. Our need is coupled with her gift. Our need is coupled with what they had to offer. God placed and allowed this, and God allowing this. God is putting the two together. God is orchestrating the two to be able to come together at the same time. And that is a divine explosion of the power and the presence of God. That is a miracle, and that's what God wants to do through your life and my life on a weekly basis, is he has placed you here on earth not to consume space, not just to consume air, not just to live life over and over and over again each day, but to be a part of the divine orchestrations of God and to finish the assignments that he's entrusted you to finish. Does that make sense? So God is doing something through your life. God has opportunities you can't even imagine because you have been given giftings and abilities and talents by God, and God is strategically allowing people with the needs that you don't have because you have these things to be able to meet together. I remember there's a friend of mine named Don, and Don used to run a GTE data service, a $1.6 billion company. And out of the clear blue, at the height of his work, God just said, hey, I think you ought to resign and help other people with their business problems. And so he thought, that's crazy. And so he told his wife that. She goes, you'd be great at that. And then he resigned from his company, and he thought, what am I going to do? And so he started meeting with men on a regular basis to study the Bible and to study the Word of God and find out God's spiritual will for their lives, and then also to be able to look at what God's plan was for their lives and their career and with their business. And what he's done with thousands of people is absolutely crazy, ridiculous, amazing, because it is the needs of people that God has put in their lives, and in the talents and the giftings of Don that God has placed, and God places Don in the right circumstances with the people with the right kind of needs, and he puts them together, and they fulfill the assignment of God. In fact, so this priest walks by. He misses the assignment of God. He misses the reason for his existence. The scripture says there's actually a an assistant priest, a JV priest that walks by also. And by the way, if you're 3,000 feet elevation descending right here, you can actually see everything that's happening on the pathway as you're going down this highway. If you're up here, you're walking down this pathway that's descending, you can actually see every single thing that's happening beneath you right here. And so here's the JV priest, and he's seeing the whole picture of everything, and he could have gotten a good life lesson of how, as a young preacher, he ought to be able to live life, but he doesn't. He gets exposure actually to a priest that despises the assignments and the opportunities that God's placed in his life. And the scripture says, as Jesus is telling the story to this attorney about how to love your neighbor, how to fulfill your assignment, he says, this guy walks by also. And then I want you to see the conclusion of this story, because it's pretty amazing. In verse 33, is Luke chapter 10, then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt, I want you to see this. If you've got a Bible with you, you might want to even underline this. If you can take notes right here, you might want to just underline it. He felt compassion. He felt compassion for him. You see, that's the thing you're going to look for. You're going to look for that compassion. You're going to look for that hunch. You're going to look for that. As you're reading the Word of God this week, as you're seeing doors of opportunity close in your life, those are two things that God always does before he shows you his assignment. He will speak to you through the Word of God, so you've got to be in the Word of God. He will speak to you through closed doors, things that you thought would be open, and God closes those doors, and so there's no longer opportunities there, but there are opportunities here, and then God will give you a compassion for the person or the situation. It doesn't mean that you want to do it necessarily, but you know you have to do it. So here's a Samaritan. He also, by the way, is up as he's walking along the path. The priest walks by. He sees the whole thing. The junior varsity priest walks by. He sees the whole thing. And he thinks to himself, listen, if these guys, by the way, Samaritans were half-breeds. They were hated by the Jews. And he thinks to himself, listen, if they're not even going to take care of their own kind, I'm off the hook. I don't have to do a thing. And they're not going to take care of their own people. Listen, they hate me. In fact, why? He started thinking of his own excuses. Why should I do for him, for that Jew that was stupid enough to walk down there with a bag of money, probably and get robbed by thieves and get beat almost to an inch of his life? Why should I help him? Because he'd never help me. But the more he's walking, he sees the priest walk by, and he sees the JV priest walk by, and he sees the man putting his hand out and grabbing the sand and trying to move himself. Help me, help me. The scripture says he's moved with compassion. He's moved with compassion. He can't get away with it. I have all the excuses that they're not taking care of their own people. I shouldn't have to do this. I have no obligation. He wouldn't help me. And he starts thinking to himself, listen, why should I do this? And the only reason why he can think of is because there's a compassion that's compelling him to do something. He thinks to himself, listen, this man has a need, and I have the resources to bring health to this man. And it says in verse 34, going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds and with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. See all the things he had at his disposal? Then he put the man on his own donkey. See, he had what he had at his disposal that this man needed. He took him to an inn where he took care of them. See what he had at his disposal? The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If this bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. You see what he had at his disposal? The assignments of God, listen, are the divine orchestrations where God brings you and your giftingness and your talents to the needs of people. And Jesus turns to this attorney and says to him, what do you think about this story? He turns to this guy that says to him, hey, what do you think? Who's my neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Your neighbor is anybody that God brings along your pathway that has a need in the very exact area of your talent, your gift, and your resources. That God moves you with compassion to be able to be a part of helping to meet their needs. And Jesus makes a point to the attorney. How do you love God with all your heart, with your soul, with your mind? He says, you love others as you love yourself. That this is not a hobby. This is not some intellectual pursuit. This is a passion of which you have none. And it's interesting right here what takes place. Because our neighbor is our assignment. Our neighbor is whoever with the needs that they have, coupled with the giftedness that God has entrusted you with, colliding together in a divine orchestration with a compelling passion that God is entrusting you to be a part of. It is when God invites you, sister, when God invites you, dear brother, young mom, it's when God invites you to start teaching reading in your neighborhood because you're good at it and there's kids that are not. It's when you are great at orchestrating and you know how to be able to put together gardens and you start growing one because you know that there's people without food. It's the divine orchestration of God. And listen, watch this. If you've not heard anything else, listen to this. Every time that you and I move towards following our assignment that God has entrusted us to be a part of, every time that we take the invitation of God and do exactly what He's asked us to do, we are moving forward towards the story He created for us, and we are moving away from our past. We are moving away from the story that we created for our own lives. Does that make sense? Every time I say yes to God, I will do exactly what you've invited me to be a part of. We are moving towards what God has entrusted us away. And we are moving away from our past. We are moving away from the story we created for ourselves. So no wonder God uses assignments to rewrite our story, because every single time that we take the assignments of God, they move us into a new direction for our lives, and they move us away from who we used to be. So God has a new story for you. God has a new life direction for you. God has a new opportunity for you. And so it's not significant when you feel a hunch, when you feel a gut wrench, when you go, listen, I should be a part of this. I should take care of this. It's not by accident when you think to yourself, listen, somebody ought to take care of this. Somebody ought to help with this. Somebody ought to work in our children's ministry. Somebody ought to do something better in our preschool ministry. Somebody ought to do something with our students. Somebody ought to be able to help with sound or help with different things around in our church here. When you see the need and you know you have the gift and the two come together, it's amazing what happens. Just amazing. Again, every single time. Every time you move forward towards the assignment, you're moving away from your past story. Every time you move forward, you're moving towards the life story that God originally had entrusted for your life. Listen. Verse 36, now which of these three would you say who was this neighbor to the man who's attacked by bandits? Jesus asked, and the attorney replied, the one who showed him mercy. He, by the way, he was a Jew. He couldn't even, he hated Samaritans. He even couldn't get the S word out of his mouth. The one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. And I can tell you this right now. God has some amazing things planned for you this week. God has some amazing assignments for you to accomplish. He thinks so much of you that He gave His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. He was buried for you and rose again for you. And He purchased through His death and His burial and resurrection what your good works and my good works would never purchase for us. I heard a statistic not too long ago. It said that 97% of people believe that there's a heaven. But only 2% of people believe that there is a hell. But interesting, the statistic went on that 95% of people believe they know somebody that's going to hell. You know, hell's a real place, so is heaven.